Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robotip Epic, and with me I have...
I'm Alex.
Ow, my feelings!
And...
I'm working. Whose Waldo I got in my hand?
I don't know, but you should probably put it back.
Yeah, probably.
Unless you want to go to jail again. Remember what happened last time?
Oof.
The TV got stuck on wrestling all night. Nobody wants that.
Oh, not anymore, they don't. Hell, John and I have to put up with 3 hours of this crap every single Monday because we're stupid.
Yes. Yes, you guys are. Unlike me, who is smart and intelligent and above all of you. Which is why I host the podcast. Which, you know, I just realized, I think we might actually get close to surpassing the danking stage.
Huh.
At least as far as numbered episodes. So suck it, Tyler. Well, they're up to 70. We're about, we're on episode 65 right now. So we're about a month away from one of the most critical episodes in the Decibel Boost lineage, but we'll get to that in due time.
Well, knowing their schedule, we'll surpass them in no time.
Ooh, boy. So, I guess let's get into the formalities. Anything exciting to happen with y'all the past week?
Not really. We had a pretty fun snow day, which led to me going to work on very icy roads. It was 10 degrees, it felt like zero, and that did not feel good on my face.
Oh.
Yeah. Wind chills of zero, never fun. Other than that, it's been a pretty slow, chill week. I spent some time getting into good old Crash Thompson, the rock critic, and he's got some good work. He deserves more love.
Did you happen to see a certain particular video where a certain someone made a guest appearance?
Yes, I did. That actually went up on my birthday of all times.
I probably should have done a version of the middle finger thing with Spanish, like,
possibly.
Subtitles.
I've also learned a couple of things from him. One, Weezer's discography is just as good as Megadeth. Only about half of it is worthwhile.
Ooh.
Yeah. Nobody liked Risk.
Thankfully, I still haven't heard it. I don't think I ever will.
Good. It's just... Ugh. And the other thing... Wow, early Green Day was actually really goddamn good.
Well, I wouldn't know, because I've only ever heard three of their albums, and the only early one being, like, I think Dookie and Nimrod. And I have no
motivation
to go to
the Warning! Listen to Warning, it's so good.
Look, here's the thing. I would, but given that the last Green Day album I ever heard in full was 21st Century Breakdown... For me, I have no interest to go to even the good albums. My enthusiasm just deflates from there. And before anyone asks, no, I haven't heard American Idiot in full. But again, no motivation to.
Wow, you're missing out on some good stuff.
Yeah, that's what everyone tells me. But good thing I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, clearly you spend time listening to other worthwhile albums, like that new Fall Out Boy record.
Because someone has to do the dirty work here.
Clearly. I mean, hell, you're doing this, you're not even getting paid for it.
Listen, you better shut your mouth right now, or else we're all going to be listening to that new Fall Out Boy album.
Well, you can't make me, because I just want to listen to you, and only I. So,
just wait till we get to the roundup.
Don't worry, I'll be talking about Machine Head.
Oh, I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will.
Yeah. And but, other than that, I got one last thing. ONA is back! Hooray! And I've spent the last 2 days in editing hell because, oh my god, that was a nightmare to put together.
Yeah, according to John, apparently the podcast got robbed, as he put it.
Yeah. Our good buddy Sketch joined in, sort of like a last-minute thing, and... I'll just be nice and say his audio was completely unusable.
Ah.
But he recorded a conference call of the entire call, so That meant I had to splice in every single thing to avoid overlap. And this was almost 2.5 hours.
Damn.
And some of my internet, your mouth screaming, my hands, or my eyes, or please let me sleep, or help.
If I did not learn how to use Pro Tools, I would probably be in a very bad place right now.
Yes, yes, you probably would. But anyway, what about you, Mark?
Let's see, well, the past week. You know, before this, yeah, I mean, yeah, it got cold here too, considering the fact that, all the roads around me got closed, so I'd have to go to work because fuck that. Oh, and also, got some people moving back in the house, and it's a cat next to me right now sleeping. Yes, she can't sit down because she's asleep.
Aww. Peacefully.
Yes.
I will be sure to keep an ear out if I hear any meows.
Yeah, I did this too.
See, now this podcast is officially better than the training stage because Joey has a cat. And now we have a cat in the podcast. Potentially.
Hey, I have three cats, thank you very much.
Damn!
Oh shit, that's even better. Why didn't you tell me you had three cats? Dude, we could have been, like, upping our game in the cat wars. You know how much the internet loves that quality feline content?
Well, I mean, granted,
it's second place to doggos and puppers, but still.
I'm pretty sure y'all knew I had at least two cats. We had a third because kittens.
I only knew about one. You only ever take pictures of one, instead of obsessively photographing every single cute little floofer in the house.
Okay, Todd in the Shadows. Jeez.
For the record, Amy is not a floofer, she is a squish. Very squishy. Too much skin, not enough dog. And as for me, pretty much absolutely nothing other than catching up with the animus of this past season. Looks like as far as this season, I'll be watching Pop Team Epic, Junji Ito, Kokoku, what was the other one? That Killing Bites shit, and also the horniest mecha anime I've seen since Captain Earth. Okay, quick show of hands, who remembers Captain Earth?
I vaguely remember.
I don't, but if you want horny mecha anime, watch Cross-Anji.
I meant good horny anime. That Cross-Anji is just a...
Whatever the fuck that happened in Cross
Blood, puke, and lesbian threesomes. Yes, yes.
Cross-Anji is basically the pornographic equivalent of Griffith getting tortured for a year and then invoking the Baelit to turn into Femto.
But isn't that already pornography?
No, it isn't.
Can he tell the lesbian threesomes then?
Okay, we'll talk about Berserk another time, another place.
Yeah, we're going on a tangent. I only had it on the brain because other thing I have to say is I finally got back into, back on my bullshit with reading the mangos. I bought a bunch of volumes of One Piece, volume 60, and the omnibuses that go up from 61 to 66, first volume of Berserk. You know, man, it feels really weird to finally be past the time skip. But that's neither here nor there. So now, let us move on to, obviously, the normal shenanigans. New song discussion time. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us, listen to these songs, and then come back and, share your thoughts with us, because we're always listening. So, starting from the top, now, I have a vague memory of this first act from the 2012 Adult Swim Singles program, which is admittingly the one I listened to the least, like, in terms of repeated listens, but apparently there's a new album coming out March 23rd from the indie rock sort of experimental / performance art group of Yamantaka / Sonic Titan. It's called Dirt, and we actually have a single from it called Someplace. Now, like I said, my only frame of reference for this group is, like, one song, and listening to this one, I can't really give it much context in the grand scheme of things, but if there's one thing I really like about it, it's got this really unique sort of flow and progression of, like, going across it. It kind of has, like, this airy, ambient, like, sort of 6/8 guitar melody, It just sort of like loops back and forth between two notes. It kind of lulls you into a dreamy headspace. When the drums finally enter, it just kind of keeps like this slow beat, and the guitar sort of switches up the melody, and there's even points where it kind of seems like it's getting a little like tap heavy. And then once it gets to the back half of the song, things sort of ramp up. It's kind of like this very noisy sort of post-rock, almost kind of sludgy at times, sort of like the more post-rock influenced Boris records in a vague sense. It's kind of a cool transition how it just like, even though it's sort of two different ideas, the progression and the songwriting is sort of so seamless that it feels like it fits. I'm actually fairly impressed with this. I'm enjoying it a lot more than I thought I would.
Mm-hmm. This is a pretty chill song at the start before, you know, building to that grand crescendo toward the end. I like it, and if this sounds weird, it's because I write my notes in a very stream of consciousness style. This song sounds like if Silver Sun Pickups had a bit of an electronic and core influence and didn't suck.
I have to take your word for that. I think I only know one Silver Sun Pickup song.
They're not the greatest alt rock band in the world.
So I've heard. Actually, I think I've heard the opposite, but anyway. So moving on to the next song here. This is one of those indie acts that I actually am quite familiar with because a friend of mine in college was like super obsessed into them, and she kind of got me into them as well. This indie rock act called Of Montreal, who have been going on for fuck knows how long at this point. I think they have like, what, 15 albums? Probably more than that. I think I may have skipped over the last couple accidentally, though. But yes, it appears the Kevin Barnes-fronted project is dropping a new album on March 9th called White is Relic / Irrealis Mood. Dear God, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And so we have the first single from that, Paranoic Interval / Body Dysmorphia. Now here's the thing you need to understand about Of Montreal is that their first handful of albums are kind of like that sort of acoustic, you know, light indie rock sort of thing. But then they get to a point where like the discography gets much more eclectic and out there. And that's the part period of their act I kind of like more. So like from then to, I think it's like from Hissing Fauna to now, because they're not jogging in place. They kind of throw something new at you with each record. So in this case, I think the idea, as they say, was like to go into sort of the realm of like, as they say, 80s dance music remixes. And you sort of get that feeling with like listening to this one, especially with that funky, like synthetic, like slap bass line, the glitchy synths popping in and out at like the right times, even mild like hints of like chiptune in there. The groove here is just like impossibly tight. Although I will admit, like, the song loops incredibly, a lot, because it's, like, 7 minutes, and the song does, again, repeat itself a lot. But I think it makes sense, given, as they say, the club dance remix vibe they're going for. That kind of stuff tends to be incredibly repetitive. And there's some neat, like, 16th note vocal phrasings here and there. I might be inclined to give this one a listen, you know, once I put down the Andrew WK record, because I think that's coming out the same day.
Yeah. I got nothing for this, I'm sorry. This didn't really do anything for me.
Alright, understandable. But now let's move on to the realm of honest to God legit, like, metal, which I feel like has been missing for, like, an episode or two. I mean, last week we had to talk about Breaking Fucking Benjamin. That's how you know we're scraping the bottom of the barrel. But we got at least something with some actual interesting history behind it. The, of course, long-running sort of prog metal act, Cynic. They've been going through, like, a bunch of shit. We don't have time to recap all the details. All we know is that now they've got, like, a new lineup and everything. I don't think it's any of the original members. I'm not entirely sure. But
I think there's only one left.
Yeah, pretty much. It's one of those situations. And so they dropped their first new song in 4 years, a track called Humanoid. So you listen to this one, and it kind of sounds like in sort of familiar ballpark of, like, what you expect from Cynic. Truth be told, I only know, like, one of their albums, which, if I recall correctly, is, like, one-third of their discography. Heyo! But yeah, it opens with that very, like, driving, like, tom-heavy fills and snare and shit. The noodly guitars, and of course, the extra noodly bass, which, you know, it works as basically, like, the second lead guitar melody. Like, there are those bursts of, like, the guitar noodles, but, like, everywhere where there's dead space, the bass is just, like, it's noodlier than an Italian pasta dish. And, of course, even, like, in the guitar solo sections where there's some decent, like, interplay between it and the bass, but... I'll admit, it kind of, it's one of those things, again, like Machine Head, where it just sounds weird without, like, a proper rhythm guitar underlying it. Like, guys, get another guitar in there. It's a worthy investment, trust me. And there's also that weird symphonic break somewhere, because reasons. And as for the vocals here, I kind of get a Muse vibe a little. Like, I'm really blanking if it's a different vocalist from the one they had before, but whoever's singing on this definitely sounds like they're trying to be Muse.
Well, the song's pretty solid. Cynic is a band I've always heard of, but never went out of my way to actually, you know, look for, but they've always been in the back of my mind. And I was wondering why that bass sounded so familiar, so I looked it up. That's Sean Malone. He is a genius with a fretless bass, because I know him from OSI's first album, and he was in Mike Portnoy's Rush tribute band. You've never seen a greater performance of YYZ on a fretless bass before.
Yep, all that sounds just about right.
Yeah, I'm actually inclined to check out more of this stuff, because, well, like I said, Sean Malone, he's a goddamn great bass player, one of the best in the business.
Hmm. Intriguing.
But yeah, he's anything but rule number two, okay?
We had to squeeze that joke in there. But anyway, let's move on to some other stuff here. For these next two songs, let's let Mark get things started here. Go ahead, sir.
Alright. So we got the return of the boy of Dabaray. And he's another single this week. Well, technically, by the time it's recording, he released another
Apparently
one. Apparently, with Doom. Yeah, we'll talk about that next week. But this time we got another single featuring somebody named Fat Father. Yeah, that's his name with two T's. It's called Stranded. Now, with this single, okay, the production just got that twinkling sound. At least I want to say xylophone.
Actually, when I was listening to it, it sounded more like they raided all the empty beer bottles in my fridge and just started like hitting them with spoons.
Let the click clack into every beer bottle or every empty one. Like, I can hear that. Like, the production is kind of nice. And from, even though like most people, I don't know shit about Fat Father. I do dig his verse. His verse in here, like his first verse, like, I ain't come for the chit chat, I come for the bread. Fuck whatever the riff I have, and I ain't for the head. Miss Lee, are those who ever seen me at the bottom? Something sitting up at the top, and something with a bottle. Damn genius, you don't know what the fuck he's saying.
And if genius doesn't know, you're fucked.
No injuries. I'm no D Rose. that's a basketball joke. Even I don't know that much about that. But I know that shit. Like a lot of friends that know. I got some friends that know sports. But yeah. This song is, yeah, I think it's pretty dope from what I heard.
Yeah, I liked it. No complaints here.
And now, I need to see that Dune track. Well, later on during the week. But yes, this track is pretty solid. And now, the next one, ASAP Ferg. Remember him? He was a mixtape last year, which was kind of okay-ish, sort of. Well, I didn't know, it was kind of meh, with some good stuff in it, with some good joints and everyone. But yeah, he's working on a new album coming out this year, which, come to think about it, yeah, that does make sense since, you know, his last album came out 2016, so. I guess so. So he got a new single called Family. And what do you think it's about?
It's actually about his family. Instead of being like some weird metaphor for getting laid and drinking weed. Wait, did I just say drinking weed?
It does about his relative high museum, because, like, I realized that Losing some ASAP Ferg. He does reference his family in most tracks of his that I remember. Like, he references, you know, his mom all the time. He references his uncle, whose name we call Psycho, which you had that song on the last album. Despite the album not being that good, that song was good. But anyway, on this track, yeah. But yeah, this track is, it's pretty all right. I do like the production here. It is, it is like, you know, less of how ASAP Ferg usually does his shit. Like, sometimes he usually does some trap shit. This is more, I don't want to say boom bap, but I want to say
the bass drum on this thing hurt my ears.
Yeah, bass. Yeah. It's more bass on this. And I do say, like, when ASAP Ferg raps about this shit, it's like, okay, it's pretty interesting to, you know, how he was coming up in the world and all that. It's all right. Like, hopefully when this album come out this year, hopefully it might make a better impression.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm not all that familiar with ASAP Ferg. I mean, I know he had, like, his Still Striving, and that I think there was also like an ASAP Mob project out last year.
Yeah, that was.
I got a jive with the song. Very, you know. Granted, the beat is cool, but granted that it's loud as fuck, and I don't know if that's the mixing or if that's just like SoundCloud always having the volume cranked up higher than it really ought to be. But yeah, you know, pretty dope beat. I kind of like Ferg's flow and like the. He's got good lyrics here. The vivid sort of picture he paints of, like, family dysfunction and chaos. I can jam with this.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of picture, it painted that song art you see with him with a do-rag, where it said, although, and then look, oh, it's supposed to be my Hennessy. Oh, damn.
But now to move on to something I unfortunately cannot jam with all that much, and once again, I seriously don't get this.
Talking about.
So we got another single here by the man who apparently brought Sexy back, Justin Timberlake, from his February 2nd release, Man of the Woods. This one's called Supplies, and the last song was... Okay, so Filthy was kind of this weird mashup of, like, sort of 70s gospelish rock and this weird kind of, like, Jamiroquai electronic thing. I'll say on this song, at least the vocals are kind of better. They're not so choppy and awkward, and at least there's a consistency and an actual attempt at performance instead of not, like, fucking hacking it to the bone. But this fucking... Okay... Is he trying to, like, do the Taylor Swift thing? Like, is he... Because there's barely a hook here. It's like the beat is as empty as, like, the chorus of Look What You Made Me Do. It sounds... Okay, I know it was produced by the Neptunes, and apparently Pharrell can be heard in, like, the beat, and he's even in the video. But yep. This whole thing honestly sounds like a Migos jam. It's very trap-flavored.
Yeah, that's what I gotta say. This song sounds like it's a Wes Anderson trap song.
And don't forget the ad libs everywhere, like
supply. Yeah.
In between, like every nook and cranny. In fact, I'm pretty sure I heard some skirts and Molly Percocet somewhere. And then there's the actual like lyrical subject matter, which. I guess is, again, he's trying to seduce a woman, but the way he's doing so is like, hey, baby, you're beautiful as hell. Come to my bunker because the world is going to end, and I have a constant feed on InfoWars.
The whole video sounds like some woke shit because all these TVs, all they talk about, you know, the Me Too movement, out with Trump, the, you know, sex, you know, sexual scandal shit happening all around everywhere. And then it's like, that feature, why is there a guy with a bunch of guns with collars or some shit like that?
I don't know, man. I'm not a music video director.
And then at the end of the credits, at the end of the song, it's like, why? Someone pointed out, like, why am I thinking of Blade Runner 2049? Because it looks like, because it almost look like the same, at least some similar to it. Because after Outland or some shit like that, everything is all brown and orange and shit. Like you kind of get what I'm talking about,
yes,
right?
Yes, we know. I haven't even seen Blade Runner 2049 yet, and I know.
This is your Super Bowl halftime show. We went from Lady Gaga to Justin Timberlake, that is.
Oy fucking vey.
Yeah.
Y'all owe Janet Jackson some shit. Y'all owe Janet Jackson an apology.
What this guy damn said.
It. Yeah, seconded.
I so don't get what he's going for with this record.
I don't know. We is like, what the hell are you trying to go for?
It's like with this and the last Katy Perry album. Is there
something? I was thinking that too.
Is there something
I was thinking
with
that
like
shit too.
Big pop stars from white pop stars from the mid 2000s shitting the bed while trying to be fake woke?
Well, that's been going on for the last 10 years with everybody trying to be edgy with swear words. Look at you, Miley.
Let's move on. This is annoying me. Yeah. So, looks like we already have the Synthwave album of 2018 motherfucking confirmed. Of course, our perennial favorite of mine, the Texas-based producer Ghost, G-O-S capital T, is releasing a new album March 23rd called Possessor. And of course, we have the lead-off single from that album, Gareth, which, listening to this song, I could have sworn he performed it live when I saw him last year. Like, I feel like I heard this exact, like, gritty as hell bass line and that drum roll intro thing. Seriously, the bass synths on this thing, as always, are fucking gritty as hell. Like, his fucking setup is gonna fall apart in any goddamn moment, but he's beating every last sound you can out of it. It grinds against your senses. It rumbles loud and soft, burning and rumbling and crackling in the most satisfying ways, along with like those extra nice synth melodies that punctuate in all the right places. And of course, those well-timed sort of piercing black metalish wails, like the shrieks of the damned and everything. Have I mentioned I like Ghost?
Maybe once or twice, yeah.
You have.
But this is good.
Yeah, pretty good stuff.
And so we move on from that to our last two songs here. First up, the past week's entry in the Adult Swim Singles Program, and perhaps maybe my favorite that I've heard so far. This week's offering comes to us from the up-and-coming metal darling Zeal and Ardor, which, as I believe we may have mentioned when the lineup came out, this is a man who was apparently inspired by 4chan forum posts to combine metal with Negro spirituals. Now, I haven't heard either of his albums. I know he had one out last year that was apparently a big thing, but I haven't got around to it yet. But I kind of want to, though, based off the song he released called Baphomet, appropriately. Like, the main thing you need to know is that the vocals on this thing, holy goddamn fuck, this dude is a fucking swag master. You have never heard so much, like, bombast and personality out of any, like, even some of the best metal albums I've heard in the past, like, couple years don't have this level of fucking charisma. Something that is desperately needed. Like, this really does sound like, you know, the group singing of, like, spirituals and work songs and, like, you know, all that old-timey shit. You know, you have that in, you have, like, these occasional bursts of, like, these chugging metal guitars, but between that you have, like, just, it sounds like a fucking raucous as hell, like, you know, almost kind of like a campfire song with chugs. And, you know, those percussive hand claps and everything, and you even get these bits of, like, delays and feedback and, like, the actual distorted guitar parts and everything. It's just holy shit, this is a force of personality that I desperately need more of. God damn, son!
Oh, it's my turn to talk about an Adult Swim single. Holy crap, look at that. So yeah, like you said, it's a really good blend of that, you know, spiritual, folky kind of vocals with a hard metal instrumentation. I'm assuming it's all programmed, right?
Kind of sounded like it to me.
Yeah, but either way, dang, that double bass groove at the end. It's intense.
It's too good, man.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Yeah. Note to self, actually make time for this album when I'm not listening to fucking Grammy catch-up shit. Oh, man, next week's gonna be hell.
Oh, God, dude, that shit
yeah.
too.
Oh, boy.
But anyway, let's move on to the big one for this week, the final song that we have to talk about. So last week, we discussed our most anticipated records of the year, and at one point, me and Alex mentioned the impending new record from progressive metal favorites Between the Buried and Me. Well, now we actually have that information. So, they announced this past week that their latest record is going to be a two-part conceptual release titled Automata. But as far as we know, we are not sure if it is related to the works of game developer Yoko Taro. So someone has to reach out to us and confirm that.
Yeah.
And interestingly, they are switching labels for this one. I think they were previously on Metal Blade.
Mm-hmm, they were.
But now, they are on Sumerian.
Yeah.
Because I suppose they need a big group to promote now that Dillinger is comfortably in retirement. So, part one of Automata is actually coming out March 9th. Holy shit, that's going to be a big day. And so we have the first single from the record, a prog jam called Condemned to the Gallows, which might be the best song written about Gallows since the title track from Human Abstract's Digital Veil. Seriously, there aren't enough prog metal bands writing songs about Gallows. So it opens up with this kind of ominous, clean guitar melody that's kind of standard for the clean parts of their songs. Then it segues into the full band segment with, you know, the swelling synths, the distorted fucking guitar chords, and man, there's this kind of cool rhythmic displacement where it sounds like at the end of each phrasing there's a throwing in of like a 5/4 measure, but the drum rhythm sort of arranges it in a way where you can't even catch it right away. Then you have like this ominous synth break that sort of bridges that part with like the much heavier verses. And yeah, if you were kind of like, for the people who are maybe a little put off by the kind of Yes-styled prog rock of, like, Coma Ecliptic, the heaviness here is definitely back in full force. You know, just hearing those heavy guitars, chugs, and the fucking leads, and including that squealing lead tremolo up against, like, this sinister, discordant chord progression. Definitely a lot of sparse grooves as well, somewhere in the first half. But then definitely picking up a lot more kind of intense and, like, you know, a little, I want to say blast beaty, but not entirely, somewhere between blast beat and regular beats. But thankfully, it still has kind of like some of the prog rockiness in there, especially with all the synth work and everything. And there's that really heavy groove near the end, near like the back half at like 4 minutes 40 seconds. And then, you know, looping back to the intro part, it's you can't really say any more about BT Bam. They're just good, man. It's good. Listen to it. Yeah. Spend 6 minutes of your life listening to this.
This was such a pleasant thing to wake up to on Friday morning, a new BT Bam song, and yeah, everything you said. It's a great start to their upcoming double album, and it's a great blend of styles from Coma Ecliptic with all the synth stuff, and Colors with a lot of the aggressive tritone style chords going on there. And I heard a little bit of Parallax in there as well. It's a nice little blend.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense since they're still coming off of the tour. They came off that tour a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Oh, and they also announced tour dates as well. Already, like, damn, these guys don't. These guys are on the grind, man. They never take a break.
Yeah, and speaking of a tour, now that these guys are on Sumerian, maybe we can get a BT Bam Periphery co-headlining tour sometime soon, maybe?
Wait, they've never been on a bill together?
I'm sure they have, like, maybe Summer Slaughter, I don't know, but I mean, like
talk. Oh, yeah, Summer Slaughter 2012.
Damn it, that show I missed, ugh.
Well, they were, like, co-headlining with Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, just those two. And maybe, you know, the Contortionists, Animals as Leaders, a bunch of other, you know, prog gent guys. Just, you know.
Yeah, we do know.
Yeah.
But we shall see. I mean, we know for now they're touring with Leprous and some other band, I think. So we'll just have to see. And that, of course, rounds out the new song discussion. We're going to take a little bit of a break, and when we come back, we have quite a handful of news topics to talk, so keep tuned in to this thing that we do, or something. I bungled it suddenly. And we are back. So to get to the first of these news topics, I'm sure we all are familiar with Def Leppard, right? They performed that song, Pour Some Sugar on Me. Mm-hmm. Their drummer's missing a leg.
Arm.
The usual shit.
Arm, not leg.
I know. Oh, arm.
Then what drummer was I thinking of that was missing a leg?
I have no idea.
I don't know. Anyway, so like many acts, they were subject to having much of their discography pretty much off all major streaming services. But in a recent change of events, the entirety of their back catalog is now available on basically every major streaming service, especially Apple Music and Spotify, for all you nerds there. But, okay, so a little backstory. A few recent, like, Def Leppard records you could hear on streaming, but this wasn't exactly... This was partly about, like, how much they didn't like, you know, royalty rates with digital downloads and streaming. There was also a lot of disputes with, like, Universal Records for, you know, albums like Pyromania, but now their entire backlog is all there. So for anybody who's ever wanted to, like, just plow through the whole thing in, like, I don't know, a month or something, that's an option for you. And hey, who knows? Maybe I'll do it. I mean, I spent the past 20 or so days listening to the entire discography of Yes.
The list of holdouts is growing ever smaller. So, Tool, anytime, guys. And where the hell is that new album? I'm going to keep messaging until it comes out, until it's in my hand.
Well, didn't you hear, Alex? The music's basically done, and the lyrics are coming in hard. Or something. But that's all just hearsay. So, again, in the meantime, if you actually want to, like, satiate your taste with some Def Leppard, you got an entire discography to go through. And I hear there's some good ones in there. So that's just a quick one to start off. So now, moving on. I'm sure we're all familiar, if you've ever seen any recent blockbuster action movie, you're probably familiar with the man known as Tom Hardy. You know, pretty in the A-list, pretty good actor, has been in some good movies, you know, Dark Knight Rises, Revenant, Mad Max, Fury Road, a.k.a. literally the crowning achievement of cinema.
Yes.
But obviously, there are times, you know, before those days when actors aren't famous and they're just kind of scumming it down with doing whatever they want. So, apparently, recently, it came to light that Hardy apparently was trying to be a rapper at around 14 or 15 and even had a recording deal before moving into acting. However, a television writer named Edward Tracy, you know, a BAFTA winner who's written and directed stuff, has apparently they had their hands on, like, a mixtape of, like, Tom Hardy rapping. I guess these must have been uncompleted recordings, and they were evidently posted to Bandcamp. Now, as of this recording, okay, so the Pitchfork article I'm citing here had it embedded, but sadly it doesn't look like the album is available anymore, which is very sad I didn't get a chance to listen to Tom Hardy rapping. But, you know, the odds are good that someone probably ripped it while it was online, and you could probably find it on, like, YouTube, SoundCloud, Pornhub, High Dive.
I thought we were talking about Tom Hardy's mixtape, not Pop Team Epic.
Well, really, what's the difference?
So, I never thought I'd know that Bang would drop some bars, even though we never heard it, or at least we didn't hear it before. But hopefully, we'll find it in the best ways of the internet.
If you're looking for more information to go by, apparently Hardy's recording name was, quote, Tommy Number One, and the writer Edward Tracy, who apparently uploaded the mixtape, was also apparently behind producing the beats, and he went by the name Eddie Too Tall.
Eddie Too Tall.
That's what you call yourself when you're the front man of a New Jack swing group.
that actually fits right. I do see a New Jack swing and somebody doing that shit.
So if anyone out there has a hand, has like their hands on this mixtape, call me. Or just like, I don't know, post a link in the comments or something. We'll spread it around. Anyway, moving on, we got a couple of festival announcements here. First off, the Mad Cool Festival going from July 12th to July 14th. Apparently all the way in Madrid.
Ooh.
You know, fancy. It's all in Spain and shit. So, let's actually, I guess, just get into the, you know, list of acts here. So, Thursday, July 12th, big headliner for that night is Pearl Jam, following other acts like Tame Impala, Kasabian, Justice, Fleet Foxes, fucking MGMT.
Yeah.
Shut up. And if you sing that godforsaken song from the Homecoming trailers, I'm gonna punch you. Yola Tango, Leon Bridges, Black Bear, Japan Droids, Washed Out, Porches, Fiddler, Gold Panda, amongst others. Now for Friday the... Friday the 13th.
Shit!
You know, I would like to point out for the record that this was the same festival last year where an aerial dancer plunged to their death before a Green Day set, so...
Well, this has got a lot less fun.
So anyway, Friday the 13th, your big headliner, Jack White. Following other acts such as Massive Attack, Franz Ferdinand, Snow Patrol, Alice in Chains, James Bay, At the Drive-In, Perfume Genius, Mark's number one favorite artist of 2017, Sampha,
Yay.
Odessa, Marmosets, Real Estate, La Maravillosa Orquesta del Alcohol. I assume that means something.
Damn.
The White Buffalo, Kevin Morby, Agoraphobia, and I think that's about it. As far as stuff I vaguely recognize. Then, of course, there's Saturday the 14th, where your big headliners are both Depeche Mode and Queens of the Stone Age. Other acts on the bill for that day include Nine Inch Nails, everyone's favorite white guy with an acoustic guitar, Jack Johnson, Rag and Bone Man, KC.O, Future Islands, Glass Animals, Portugal, The Man, Kaleo, Wolf Alice, LP, not that LP, but just the letter L and the letter P, Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, Rival Sons, The Black Madonna, Rufus T. Firefly, Hooray for the Riff Raff. Is there really a music act named MAGA?
I don't know.
I hope it was a misspelling and they forgot to add the N in there. That would, it would have been manga.
Branding! You need to reconsider it. But yeah, this seems like it's a decent little collection of bands here. If nothing else, at least Eminem isn't fucking headlining this shit.
Yeah, I'm gonna say, well, at least you don't have Eminem the headline the shit. And all, and also we see, like, it also is a different type, you know all music guests are, you know, very alternative type of shit that we see, that we hear and see.
Yes, they are. Oh, and speaking of festivals that Eminem isn't headlining, thank God for that. They finally were getting into a trend of no Eminem at festivals.
Yay!
So, Forecastle 2018, taking place from July 13th through the 15th in Louisville, Kentucky. Because apparently Kentucky gets music festivals. Taking place, of course, at Waterfront Park. So, your big three headliners for this top build are Chris Stapleton, Arcade Fire, and Modest Mouse. Other acts on this bill include The War on Drugs, Father John Misty, Courtney Barnett, Jimmy Eat World, Kurt Vile and the Violators. Get it? Kurt Vile, Violators. Oh. Although I'm just hoping he at least performs a set with Courtney Barnett. Louis the Child, T-Pain. That's kind of interesting. You have a bunch of indie rock stuff here, and then, you know, you have the man famous for rhyming mansion with Wisconsin. let's see. Vic Mensa.
Okay, another rapper.
O Wonder, Lucero, Hippie Sabotage, P-Virus, or is it Paris? I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, hey, look, it's the band that Crash Thompson said had the second worst record of 2017, AJR.
Oh, boy.
What else? Jai Wolf. Oh, West Side Gun and Conway. So at least they're here.
Damn.
What else is here? That's about it for stuff I recognize. Everything else is just kind of a blank. Apparently, there's also an And More, so maybe they'll update this later down the road.
And More. So what? Most of these is pretty indie rock and kind of country.
Well, it is Kentucky.
And, yeah, it's true. And the only three rappers you got are related to this, either T-Pain, Vic Mensa, and West Side Gun and Conway was like, it's like, well, it's like, yeah, it's pretty much like a sea of kicks, but with. You know, three Cocoa Puffs around it.
This festival is really white.
Yeah, basically that.
That's the joke. But now let's move on to our last two news topics along very similar veins that are sadly not jokes. And these were kind of breaking today, and thank God now we don't have to talk about that fucking Kodak Black scenario.
Good.
All right, so first off, fuck that nigga. We all know Rush, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they ever play Garden Road?
You know, we know all their classic songs. We've maybe seen them referenced in, like, South Park and shit. You know, we've internalized their shit in Guitar Hero and Rock Band. But sadly, it looks like the band is very much no more. Now, their last studio album was Clockwork Angels back in 2012. They played their last live show August 1st, 2015. And apparently they said they weren't going to do, like, any more full-scale tours because of deteriorating health. Alex Lifeson suffering from a form of arthritis, and Neil Peart with chronic tendonitis. But, according to a recent quote from guitarist Alex Lifeson in an interview with the Globe and Mail, quote, It's been a little over 2 years since Rush last toured. We have no plans to tour and record anymore. We're basically done. After 41 years, we felt it was enough. Now, while Lyson apparently has, like, some other projects he's working on, yeah, the lack of recording activity and, of course, touring activity, it's pretty safe to say that Rush is probably done at this point. Yeah. This kind of makes me sad. Rush was one of my first live shows. I saw them, like, back in middle school around, like, the Snakes and Arrows tour, which I think that was actually, like, the album before Clockwork Angels. I don't know if there was, like, one in between.
You know, I had the chance to go see Rush in Charlotte a couple years ago. For whatever reason, I didn't go. I probably couldn't afford it or whatever, but... Oh, I regret it now.
Ah, dude, you definitely missed out. They do, at least when they were actually able to play and stuff without health issues. They are great, man.
But, I mean,
and they probably still had, like, that little South Park clip to intro mm-hmm. Tom Sawyer.
Yeah, I mean, they have a ton of, you know, live albums so that I can go back and watch. I've seen the R30 concert on TV a bunch of times. That's one of my favorite concert films.
Yeah. I remember when they appeared on The Colbert Report. And that was, like, their mm-hmm. first appearance on American television in fuck knows how long.
Yeah, I saw that, too. That was pretty cool.
We obviously like ourselves some Rush here, but you know what? Sort of, obviously, their health issues. Plus, it's been, like, 40 goddamn years together as a band. So, if they were to call it quits and want to go into retirement, you know what? I think they fucking earned it. Mm-hmm. And then some.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's move on to our last topic here. This was literally, like, breaking this morning. Another story of, like, legends of the rock, or in this case the metal world, more than likely, you know, getting on out of there. The long-running, probably, in some people's opinion, the heaviest of the big four, Slayer. They dropped a video tease earlier today saying that they will, quote, make its exit with a final world tour. Now, pretty much all, like, the... Everything is pretty much pointing towards this being their last run as a band before, like, disbanding. And, yeah, this is, like... You know, a lot of people might argue, including myself, that they probably should have called it, like, a while ago. I mean, remember, they lost Jeff Hanneman. They also lost Dave Lombardo, but that not, like, in the same loss, but, like... Look, you know what I mean. This band almost kind of seems like they're running on fumes at this point, so... Yeah, maybe a smart call. I know that sounds derogatory, but hey, that's just how I feel.
Yeah, I've said before that part of Slayer also died when Jeff Hanneman died because they lost arguably their biggest creative force. No disrespect to Kerry King, although he's kind of an asshole, but some of the biggest Slayer songs were compositions from Hanneman. And also, no disrespect to Gary Holt, he's a fine guitar player, but he's not the same kind of creative force that Hanneman was, so this just feels like the natural order of things, honestly.
Yeah, that sounds just about right. Although, we're still waiting on the actual dates of this final tour.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, there's one thing we do know for sure, though, is that, of course, obviously, there will be a final North American run of shows. And this actually ties into a rumor that was floating around earlier, like, a few weeks ago, about a particular lineup for a Slayer headline tour. But now we have official confirmation from, like, labels and publicists and shit that Slayer's final North American tour will consist of them alongside Lamb of God, Anthrax, Testament, and Behemoth. So, say what you will, they certainly are going out with a bang here. And mm-hmm. I can attest to that firsthand. All four of these bands I've seen live. Lamb of God when they were touring with Slipknot, Anthrax and Testament were on the same bill together, and then Behemoth when they were touring with Cannibal Corpse a couple years ago. Slayer is the only band here I have not seen, and granted, I made my feelings on Slayer clear that they haven't released a truly brilliant album since 1990, but I might be inclined to go. Although mm-hmm. I have to bring one thing to the table here. Like, if you are going to tour, for the love of God, bring Dave Lombardo with you. You owe it to him.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? And I'll say this, if they come around here, I might go. I mean, I know they frequent one of the venues here in town, so if it happens, yeah, maybe I'll go there. You know, it'll be my last chance. I don't want it to end up being like Rush, where that was my one chance and it slipped by me.
Yeah, we all have our regrets about this stuff sometimes. But that is basically about it for the news. Kind of a heavy one to end on, so... Let's close out here with the new album releases for the week of January 26th, 2018. Starting from the top, the latest album from Chromatics member Johnny Jewel with Digital Rain. The newest album from Doom Death Metalers Portal with Ion. The latest album from indie rocker Ty Segall with Freedom's Goblin. Israeli prog metalers Orphaned Land with their first release in 5 years, Unsung Prophets and Dead Messiahs. The latest and last album, apparently, from Preachcore band Sleeping Giant with I Am. Of course, the latest album from Machine Head with Catharsis. And last, unfortunately, the newest studio album from Migos, Culture 2. Oh, man, I am not looking forward to the February memes.
And one more thing, we didn't forget about the Drake songs. We chose not to talk about them.
Wait, there were Drake songs?
It's an EP. There's two songs, that's it.
Yeah, it sounds about right. But, yeah, So that about covers that. So let's clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
I'm all over the internet everywhere as the username Aura of Azure, where wherever you find me, you will probably see me in varying states of mental decay because I'm a busy guy and I am going crazy.
Mark, what about you?
As usual, Mac Hyper Media on the interwebs and all that shit. And on my site, The Mind of Hyper One at thehyper1.wordpress.com. This week's this time I talk about the Crunchyroll Anime Awards and all that shit.
They snubbed my boys in Man with the Mission. But that's unrelated. Anyway, as for me, you can follow me on all sorts of social media, Twitter, Instagram, Curious Cat, at Rob Barracuda. You can email me directly, robert@surrealresolution.com, for questions, inquiries, opportunities, and of course, memes that aren't shit. Seriously, I'm not looking forward to Migos memes in February. Meme ghosts, if you will. Wow, that was terrible even for me. Anyway, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up by the weekends, ideally by Fridays, on the official YouTube channel of Surreal Resolution. Just search Surreal Resolution, subscribe, hit the bell tab so you're always notified whenever new episodes of the podcast go up. Of course, follow Surreal Resolution elsewhere on Twitter at Surreal Rezo, Facebook.com, you know, Surreal Resolution. Also on Twitch if you like streaming content. And, of course, on the website, www.surrealresolution.com. And find the podcast on its own subdomain, decibelboost.surrealresolution.com. Listen to past episodes. And, of course, as always, listen to the other podcasts, you know, like Training Stage or Podcast O&A, which is back, as Alex said. 2.5 hours almost of quality content.
Oh, yeah.
Be sure to keep up with our written content. I should have my review of Fallout Boys Mania sometime this week, if Tyler gets it edited. Spoiler, it's a 1-star review. It's not good. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat if you want to argue with us about food. And of course, as always, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Thank you for joining us this week. Of course, as always, we'll be back next week with, you know, Grammy Snork. And
it's gonna be fun.
And until next time, Raindrop Drop Top.